Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its inspiration by your Holy Spirit all those years ago. And we thank you that your same Spirit can help us to understand it this morning. So we pray that you'd give us that grace, that we would understand your word and see you more clearly. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. The early 20th century English writer G.K. Chesterton is reported to have said, "The worst moment for an atheist is when he feels a profound sense of gratitude and has no one to thank." Well, there is, it seems, a deep down desire to give thanks when we see something that is beautiful, to extol the virtues of a product that helps us in life, or to praise someone when we admire them or what they have done. Well, on this, our annual Thanksgiving Sunday, it seems appropriate to consider one of the Bible's great poems of praise from the Psalms, a poem or hymn which helps us to see the ultimate object of praise, the ultimate person to praise, and that, of course, is God himself. So do turn to Psalm 145. It's on page 630 in the Black Church Bible, Psalm 145. And as we do so, we find what is really a carefully written hymn, a hymn attributed to great King David some 3,000 years ago. And what we find are many reasons that it is fitting to praise and to thank God. Now, the psalm is a so-called acrostic. That is, each verse begins with the successive letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And they seem to write them like this in order to communicate a sense of order to the theme. And the theme of Psalm 145 is clear. At the start, verse 1, we read, "I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name for ever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name for ever and ever." And then at the very end, verse 21, "My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name for ever and ever." God is the ultimate sovereign. He is the King, and he is therefore worthy of praise. God's name is to be praised. That is who God is in his very being and his reputation built by what he has done. Now, these reasons for praising and thanking God are filled out as we read through the psalm. And the first general heading to consider is that it reminds us of God's great character. After Christmas as a family, we had a few days in Oxford and London, and we visited some art galleries there. We saw works by artists like Van Gogh and Rubens and Turner. Now, the different pictures expressed images and ideas in a wide variety of forms and ways. Well, someone has said that the Psalms are the verbal portrait gallery of God. They give us words that express the greatness of God himself. And Psalm 145 gives us a striking picture of him. God's kingly character is seen in his greatness. So verse 3, "Great is the Lord." God is like nothing and no one else. God is utterly other compared to anything that we can imagine. So we can never fully grasp or get our heads around him completely. We are, after all, his creatures. His greatness, verse 3, is unsearchable. And that is why he is greatly to be praised. Now, sadly, in the affairs of peoples and nations, our rulers, our kings can, yes, be given great power and have great authority, but so easily they can turn that to cruelty or abuse or exploitation. Well, not so God. Verse 8. "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all and his mercy is over all that he has made. Now, how precious are these truths about God? He is gracious and he is merciful. He spares his creatures what they so often deserve. And more than that, he gives them the good that they don't deserve. He is not quick to judgment and punishment, but full of patience, care, and compassion. He is, in fact, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, the God of covenant. And that is a truth that we plan to reflect on more next month in our sermon series. God lowers himself to enter into a loving and loyal commitment to his people. Well, given who God is as king, in his greatness and in his grace, we read verse 10. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints, your people, shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Now, as we read these words, we can see that they actually point forward 1,000 years to the one who knew and read these words himself, and who recognized that he had been sent as God's king to bring God's loving kingdom reign in a new way. God, the eternal Son, came to earth as Jesus the Christ, God's anointed king. And he has revealed the reality of the greatness and the grace of God by living amongst us and by illustrating God's character, so that in his name, God's good news would be proclaimed to the whole world. Well, given then who God is, we are inspired to praise him, to thank him, to extol him. So it's good to be reminded that we can thank God, that we have the freedom to do this publicly and regularly, and to have many to help us to praise God, especially our musicians. It is a great gift from God that we have Lester and the team who can lead us week by week. And we can thank God for all who play their part in services and behind the scenes with our buildings, with our finances, with other practical affairs. And thank God too that we have so many opportunities to welcome others and to share these great truths about God and who he is, whether that's through friendships or caring or special occasions and groups. God's character then, his name, is a tremendous reason to give him praise. But we also see here that his name, who he is seen in action. And that's our second main heading, that we praise God because of his rescuing actions. Now, it is a common thing in the political world to hear an opponent say something like, "We'll see by their actions if their words are true." Now, such a thing need not be said of the living God, for his word is truth. And as verse 13 tells us, he is faithful in all his words. But we would expect to see God's character worked out in his actions. And that is the testimony of Psalm 145. Having spoken of God's name and his character, David goes on to speak of what God has done, those acts in history which make it clear what God is like. Verse 4, "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness." God's mighty acts, his wondrous works, his awesome deeds speak especially of what God has done for the benefit of his covenant people. Now, King David would especially have been thinking of the great redemption that God had brought about for his people from slavery in Egypt, the Exodus in the time of Moses. You might remember where miraculously the Red Sea parted and the people were brought to freedom, escaping their oppressive enemy. Well, as we read these words, we can again see that they point forward a millennium to the one through whom there came a more lasting redemption, a rescue from sin and death and the oppressive enemy of God, the devil. God's ultimate mighty acts, wondrous works, awesome deeds were Jesus' death on the cross and his rising from the dead. Now David says he will, verse 5, meditate on God's wondrous works. And that is a great encouragement to dwell on the great works of God. And we can thank God that we have the opportunity to do that through the church community, in our small groups, in our church events, and indeed as we gather together regularly on a Sunday. This great redemption was the reason par excellence that the people had to praise God. And knowing that God was the rescuing God who had acted in history, reassured them that he would continue his loving, saving concern towards them. I wonder if you noticed what God's people are expected to do concerning the news of this rescue. Verse 4. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. The people passed on to the younger generations what God had done and what it meant. And indeed, we can thank God that such a work is going on here in Ferriby. Thank God for the people who work to share the good news of God's mighty acts in the cross and resurrection through working with children on a Sunday morning, teenagers at CY on a Sunday night, and the weekday activities like All Stars and Superstars. And thank God for the great opportunities of working with North Ferriby School, being able to put on the Ferriby Family Cafes on a Sunday afternoon, and through the Hunsley Christian Youth Trust and the school's worker, Matt Moore. We can thank God that we have the privilege also of encouraging younger potential Christian leaders in a lifetime of service. It's been great, hasn't it, to have the encouragement to see Nicholas Haydock be accepted by the Wycliffe Bible Translators to prepare to help provide the Bible for people in Southern Asia. And thank God too for bringing Ben Wood to be with us and to see him this year grow and develop. And we can also thank God that we're able to play a part in supporting others around the world who are sharing the good news of Jesus and bringing God's grace to people in physical ways, in relief and development. Well, God's mighty acts in history reveal his grace and his mercy, and he keeps on working these things in his people, providing for them and drawing them to himself. Blessings that others who reject him don't enjoy. So verse 14, the Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who revere him and also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. God is the great provider for his people. He is the truthful and just God. And we should thank God today especially that he has provided for us in our needs financially here at All Saints. And it is good, isn't it, to hear these words from the psalm of God's continuous provision for his people. For as Derek was sharing with us, we face challenges in funding our activities and mission in the year ahead, and in encouraging each other to play a part in God's work through our church family here. While it may well be true that an atheist has no one to thank, but those who've received so much at the hands of the true God certainly do. We have much to thank God for in the life of our church here in Ferriby. But our praise is supremely inspired by God the King himself. God who is great and gracious in his character, and who has demonstrated this in his mighty acts. Most of all, those awesome deeds, those mighty acts through his Son, King Jesus, the Christ, who died for sins and rose again, defeating death. And he is the one who has established God's kingdom and will fulfill it when he returns to bring a new heaven and a new earth. So we can say with King David, every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your greatness. We thank you that you are the God of truth and that you are the God of grace. And we thank you for the great mighty acts that you have worked in your Son to bring us rescue. We pray that you would inspire our hearts and minds afresh, that we would live as a people of gratitude and point others to you. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.